It is the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and it is that time. Once again, we head on over to the World News Center for a visit with Bill McCormick. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. And you, oh boy, is it a good morning indeed. First of all, congratulations to Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association for reaching a deal yesterday. As a huge White Sox fan, although I've been enjoying college baseball, they're like 10 games into their season. It's just not the same. Just not the same. I need to see, you know, people in uniforms with names on the back that I recognize.
I don't think April baseball is necessary. April, you still got the, you know, basketball is going on. You've still got hockey, and then May, but June, you know, hockey and basketball are done. So then you have baseball, July and August, and then you have the NFL. So really, you just need baseball for like 60 games. They should just play 60 games in the middle of the summer.
There's part of me that agrees with me. I would actually love to see baseball go from May to the end of September and the playoffs start right away at the beginning of October. I mean,
yeah,
the season does take way too long right now. They're playing into November. I mean, you know, it's like when there's baseball games after Halloween, something is seriously wrong.
Right.
I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s and, you know, October was playoff baseball. That's when you put on a sweater to go see a game. You weren't wearing a parka.
Well, you had two divisions in each league, and you had to win your division, and then that was it. There wasn't, you know, 16 extra rounds. There weren't 14 playoff teams a season. There were four.
Yeah, I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers, too.
The good old days. Well, let's talk about baseball.
Why?
I think that was enough.
I think we did all we were going to do with baseball.
Yeah, that's all that needs to be said about baseball. Okay.
Yeah, let's jump over to movie land. Fans of DC, the Black Adam movie and the Super Pets movies have both been shoved back a couple of months temporarily. They may end up being shoved back more. That's why I'm not going to announce dates, because everything is really tentative right now. And a lot of that has to do with the movie that's out now, The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Pattinson caught COVID when they came back for shooting. And they had to shut down the shoot for 2 weeks because he actually got sick. And so they shut down the whole shoot for 2 weeks. But when they do that, people still need to eat. They still need to be paid. Hotel rooms still need to be paid for. It cost them millions of dollars. The insurance company covered it.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're like, they don't want their films, even in theaters, with people saying, you know, hey, I got COVID seeing such and such a film. And I guess that's come up. So far, those suits have been thrown out. But you can't blame insurance companies for going, you know, some judge is just going to go, oh my God, you were in public, you know, and they said you didn't need a mask and they lied and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, so everyone's erring on the side of caution. So those two movies we got shoved back. Batman is going to be coming to television, I think, a week and a half sooner than previously thought. Distributors and everybody else are still trying to figure out who to sue or why they should sue. And like Warner Brothers has been shelling out money to stop the lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel and DC have been trying to figure out how to negotiate around the lawsuits. And the distributors have valid points. You promised us these movies. These distributor contracts go for 5, 10, 15 years. And these movies were promised. And if there's no movie in the theater when they're supposed to be selling popcorn and overpriced pop, they've got a problem, you know. Because Skippy and Bippy, who are working behind the counter, they're not going to get paid if there's no movie in the screens.
So we have Marvel suing DC, DC sued Marvel, Marvel and DC both sued Warners, and Warners accidentally sued themselves.
None of the above is true, but that's kind of how it looks. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It's a hot mess. So anyway, that's all going on. And DC did catch one break. They released The Peacemaker on HBO Max, which they thought was going to be just one of those things that they released, and it took care of their contract with James Gunn. And they would all be happy, and everyone could go their own separate ways, except for one little thing.
What?
The thing became a massive hit.
Right, sure.
It was huge. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I don't want to give anything away about it, because it's an incredibly weird, incredibly wonderful, like, who thought of this, why'd they think of it, and dear God, why didn't somebody do this before kind of show. It's really off the wall. But one of the things I did, I know you're into Russian pop music and EDM as a general thing.
Oh, sure.
So you're probably a big fan of a band called Little Big.
I've got their poster right over here in my studio.
Yeah, and as everybody knows, they're one of those bands that does music videos that involve live chickens and puppets.
Of course.
You know, because that's what you do when you're a Russian EDM band.
Everyone knows that.
one of the big things with Little Big, and I actually had to look this up because there was stuff that was catching my eye. I'm like, I've seen this before. I know this from somewhere. But one of the things in Little Big is they have a group of choreographers that work with them that do these very insanely bizarre choreographed routines, knife fights with combs and stuff like that. It's just really wacky, really funny stuff. And everything's very synchronized. They have a song called Skibbity that if you look that up and sit back, it'll be stuck in your brain for a year, and I apologize for that in advance.
I'm only ever going to hear this is if they do a Kidz Bop version.
Then you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. But anyway, they do this song called Skibbity, but it's got this, the video is very, very synchronized, and it's got some very distinctive arm movements. Peacemaker has the exact same arm movements. Peacemaker has some of the exact same choreography.
Hmm.
And as it turns out, some of the people who worked on Skibbity and who work on the Little Big videos also worked on Peacemaker. And I'm like, I can't even imagine the phone call. And, you know, you're sitting in Warner Brothers' office going,
is suing Peacemaker. Peacemaker is suing Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers sues Little Big, and Peacemaker sued themselves.
None of the above is true. But actually, no, this all went smoothly. How they got these guys out of Russia to do this, I don't know. But they did. But this was before today. They were working on it last year before the world went to heck in a handbasket.
And people are going to say, why are you talking about this Russian group when we should be punishing Russia? I'm like, these artists have nothing to do with what's going on.
Right. There's people boycotting a Russian restaurant here in Chicago and, you know, protesting out there. And I'm like, those are literally third generation Americans who happen to make borscht.
Exactly. What are you talking about?
They have nothing to do with Russian political policy.
Their family's been here for 100 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've eaten there. I've taken my friends there, and everyone should. It's a wonderful restaurant. Just remember, you know, it's kind of kosher, so they're not going to mix cheese and meat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can make it work.
I'm boycotting Russian roulette.
Very good. Good call. Good call. Mm-hmm. Good call all the way around there. So anyway, so the people who worked on Little Big Skibbity worked on Peacemaker, and how they put that together, I don't know. But it is seeing John Cena lead a dance group in full Peacemaker costume is worth the cost of it, price of admission.
The guy's talented.
Oh, he is. He's extremely talented. He's extremely funny. He pulls off. He's got the best deadpan I've ever seen in a show. Like, it takes you a minute to realize, oh, that was a joke. I mean, it's a joke for the viewers. It's not really a joke for him because he's taking this seriously. I mean, his motto is, I love peace. I believe in peace. I will kill every man, woman, and child necessary to get America peaceful.
I'm starting a war for peace.
Yeah, that's basically him. That is basically him. And we won't get into the second half of that statement because you'll lose your air license. So it's funny. And John Cena just has this big hit. And James Gunn and everybody, James Gunn, John Cena, and they're all like, really? This is a hit? I mean, they did it. They knew it was fun and they knew they were going to have a good time with it. But they cover some real ground in there and have the strangest alien invasion I've ever seen in a television show. And it works. They make it all work. So,
why do you think that just caught on so fast? Just right place, right time, right story?
I think basically I'm saying yeah to that. I think people were like, okay, I've superheroed out, but I like the idea of superheroes. And then here comes this monomic dancing guy who delivers all, you know, it's not like I'm here to save the day, or it's not like Hawkeye, I'm down and downtrodden. There's not much dark about it. I mean, there's a lot that's dark about it. The theme is really dark. A lot of people die. It involves Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan as a family outing. So there's a lot of darkness in there, but it's played like it's normal. I mean, I don't know quite how to describe it. They play it like, well, today I've got to go visit the Ku Klux Klan. Can somebody grab me a burger? I'll meet you at 2. Just like that. It's very banal, and it works. They played it perfectly. It's the right tone for the whole thing.
Well, I'll have to check it out when they do a Kidz Bop version of that movie.
That they will never, ever, ever do. Between the F-bombs and the assassinations, I just can't see anyone putting that into a Kidz Bop anything.
Okay, so you grew up in the 70s, 80s. You were around before cable TV. Remember when WGN used to get ahead of or get a hold of the movies and just completely overdub the naughty words and cut scenes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just remember the horribly edited version of the Blues Brothers, which I think they somehow got down to like 19 minutes.
Yeah, the Blues Brothers was one of those movies that they did. Family Classics used to like to air the We Must Sink the Bismarck, you know, the whole story about that.
Sure.
And it wasn't until years later. I saw it when I was a kid, and I never thought much about it. I was six, five, you know, 7 years old. And I happened to be, I was going to Triton College studying something. And anyway, they were playing We Must Sink the Bismarck at one of the rooms, in the bigger rooms, in the theater, actually, in the theater. So I decided to go down. I thought, I always liked this show when I was a kid. I got myself a Coke. I sat down and realized they'd cut about 25 minutes of film because even though it was made in the 60s, it was pushing some limits, you know, with women wearing, bras and stuff showing, and they just cut all that out.
Well, come on. You can't have Frasier Thomas Family Classics and have any sort of controversial content.
No, but it was just interesting. It was like, why did they pick this movie when they had to literally cut the crap out of it to put it on the air? Man, I guess, hey, they sink the Bismarck, the good guys win. No, that's all anybody cares about.
Although, if you haven't seen it, I'll have to. Have you seen the Bozo Show outtakes where they get a little raunchy? That's kind of fun.
I've seen one iteration of that. I'm told there's three or four.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have seen some of that. And they can do that. Speaking of someone who went drinking with Bob Bell in the 80s.
Really?
We had mutual friends, and I'm going to get into weird name dropping, but suffice it to say, he knew some people that I knew, and we would get together once every month or two. And we would, when we were all downtown in the Loop, and we would go drinking at some place and just kill an afternoon. Because, I would finish up my work at ABC by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was time for day drinking, as far as I was concerned. 1:30, we better be getting some booze.
Day drinking with Bozo.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Marshall Brodeen sold me a set of TV magic cards.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You ever get any good with them?
No. He makes it look so easy on TV, and my guess is because he was a professional magician.
That might have something to do with it, but I'm thinking you were just scammed.
I don't know. It was like $2, and I begged my parents to let me send in for it.
Yeah, it's like a friend of mine. Every time his kid wanted to play the accordion, because there was a guy at the music store who could play just all this beautiful stuff on the accordion. And so they got him the accordion, and the kid could hardly play anything. And they went back to the music store, and the guy brought out a more expensive accordion. And said, well, he probably, because he needs this one, and he plays all the really cool stuff. And I think he got him through like four accordions before the family got on it. Like, that kid just had no talent.
Nice.
And this guy was taking him for a ride. They were in it for the cost of a couple of new cars at the point they finally figured it out.
Well, that's like going to Guitar Center and your kid's trying to learn guitar. Well, how about this $99 electric? No. You need the Les Paul Signature model for $4,000.
Yeah, because that's what everybody needs.
Yep.
I'm always reminded at Wayne's World, $5,000. We have cash, my man. All right. Let's move on here.
Yeah,
let's
what were we talking about before we got distracted by Bozo and magic
tricks? Yeah, we were talking
about
talking about movies and talking about television shows and talking about the whole COVID thing. And as I mentioned, some of the DC movies are being pushed back. The DC sale is going through. So they're all trying to straighten out a bunch of that. And Marvel finds themselves being able to run a little bit under the radar because they had some stuff, major films ready to come out. Doctor Strange is coming out, for example. But they're slowly pushing some stuff back and moving some stuff around because they too are dealing with COVID and they too are dealing with the reality of putting things out. But the one thing that Marvel has an advantage of is they have a slate of Disney Plus movies coming out that they can move around a little bit and make everything happen and basically cover everybody till the end of the year. So they don't need to worry as much as they have before. And the first one they're releasing is called Moon Knight. And this has everybody baffled because DC and Marvel have not done well historically with sensitive subjects. They just, in the 60s, Disney dealt with slavery by putting out Song of the South. They aim somewhere in the right direction and they tend to miss it by a couple of country miles.
Well, what is the sensitive content of Moon Knight?
Moon Knight, the lead character, and one of his names applies to this, he has four, has dissociative identity disorder.
Okay.
Basically, he has a paranoid schizophrenic break. and each personality is completely separate from the other and doesn't interact with the other. One of them is the billionaire. I don't know how the billionaire keeps his billions hidden from his other counterparts, but there you go. That's what he does. One of them's a taxi driver. One of them's a former assassin who worked for the United States government. And the other guy is just this regular guy who just wants to get on with his life.
Man.
And anyway, they all end up almost dying, and the moon god Khonshu, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Khonshu, saves him and gives him the power of the Moon Knight, which, of course, brings us to the title of the show.
So that's like a fifth personality?
Yeah, and the fifth personality, Moon Knight, knows all the other personalities, can absolutely interact with all of them.
Because normally, none of the other personalities are aware of each other.
Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, and this guy's coming apart. In the comics, it depends which iteration. They have a couple of different origin stories for this guy. But it basically looks like they're going to take the more recent one, where he's a CIA agent out on the road, and he almost gets killed by his nemesis, and he ends up being saved by the moon god Khonshu. And now he has four personalities in his body, and each one is fighting for control to run over to have the superhero powers of the Moon Knight. Anyway, this is either going to be a train wreck, or it's going to be one of the best things that's ever come out. I'm looking forward to it for either reason, to be honest with you. It's one of those, how bad can this be? Well, let's find out. The trailer is beautiful. It's dark. It has lots of whooshing noises, and you get to see the Moon Knight costume, and you have no more idea what's going on with this guy's life at the end of the trailer than you do at the beginning. It's very confusing. It's very weird.
Let's pause here since we're almost out of time. We'll give everybody a chance to look at the trailer, and we can pick it up next week. Head on over to BillMcSciFi.com, TheBigWakeUpCall.com. You know where to find us. Bill, thanks as always. We will talk next time.
All right, yourself. Have a great one.
Bye.